Let's just try very quick. I'm going to speak to this tonight and in preparation. I'm just going to pray the Lord and speak through him to us. Father, just help Richard to speak to us and help us to listen to him. And Lord, we pray particularly for us that our ears will be open. Because we know that Richard's mouth will be open and he'll be saying things that we need to hear. And so, Lord, it's easier for us to be quiet and not listen. But we want to listen. Make our hearts open as well to what you are speaking to us. Just bless it, Lord, as he brings this to us.
Good news about being up here is that I can make a total hash of this. Bore you silly and God can still use it. Having said that, I'm hoping that I won't bore you silly. Here's a passage that you've probably all heard before. It's at the end of John. When they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." I'm guessing that as I was reading out, you'd have certain things happening inside you, certain feelings coming up. Simon was hurt, says so explicitly. If Jesus asked you that question, would you be hurt if he asked you three times? Because I know when I go through my, in my head, do you love God? Yeah, of course I love God. Do you love God? As soon as the second question comes up, in my mind, all the things that prove that my love isn't quite as good as I'd like it to be start bubbling up. And then the third time, Peter said, "You know I love you." There's almost a sense of, yeah, I do love you, but I don't know if that's how you feel, but it's certainly how I feel when I think about my love for God. The good news of the Bible is that Jesus already knows this answer when he talks to Peter. There are plenty of good biblical reasons why he did it three times, which I'm not going to go into tonight, because you probably all heard them before. Paul, later on, wrote this. "I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." I wish you'd write it in easier English, but anyway. He says, "What a wretched man I am." Because he recognises that even when he's trying to do good, there's evil stuff going on. You just can't get it right all the time. You know, we talk about things that we do wrong. We talk about things that we wish we would do that we know are right and we miss. All of these things keep coming up. And yet, Paul says, "Who's going to rescue me from this? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that, I really get on with Paul on this one. It's a case of, I've messed it up. I really know I have. I'm sure all of you feel the same way from time to time. Probably not as often as I do, but we're free. It's done. It's dusted. And that is just something that every time I hear it, it makes me, who do you think benefited most when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" three times? Did Jesus really need to know the answer? Or did he do it to help Peter? easy answer, isn't it? It was Peter. We know some of what he went on to do in the book of Acts. We know from church history he carried on doing stuff and ended up being crucified upside down for his faith and for what he was doing. That on its own can encourage us. But the other day, and at other times in my life, I was rereading this passage. You know, I've read it loads of times, and suddenly it occurred to me to switch the question round. Jesus, Son of God, do you love me? Jesus, Son of God, do you really love me? Jesus, Son of God, do you love me? What came into your minds when I asked those questions? There have been times in my life when the answer has been absolutely yes, he does, and other times when it's probably, and other times when, well, he says he does, but I'm not seeing any signs of it. And there have been times when I really haven't believed it. And somebody shared an article on Facebook recently about Christianity is an evidence-based religion. Faith is not believing in something that you can't prove is true. Well, at least biblical faith isn't. Biblical faith is believing in something that has evidence to back it up. Some people say that faith, believing in a faith that believes without seeing is good because of what Jesus said. Remember, Jesus told Thomas, because you have seen me, you've believed. Talking about the resurrection. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And they take that verse to say, you shouldn't need any proof, you should just have faith. And yet, two verses, that's verse 29. Verse 31, John says, these things, i.e. everything that he wrote about in the book of John, were written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life. John wrote his gospel as evidence for us so that we've got something to base our faith on. So what evidence is there that God loves us? Most important one is the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's why there is so much of the Bible in the New Testament dedicated to what happens in the last few weeks of Jesus' death and the time immediately afterwards. That is a crucial part of our faith. Paul wrote, saying this, what I received I passed on to you of first importance. You know, the most important thing about our faith, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day. And if Christ hasn't been raised, our preaching is useless and so is your faith. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. That's how important Paul, who wrote a good chunk of the New Testament, thought the death and resurrection of Jesus was. He says, it didn't happen, we're wasting our time. You can go away and do research into whether it really happened or not. Other people have done it. And I believe that some people have stated there's so much historical evidence for the resurrection of Jesus that if it was done in a court of law, at least in the UK, it would be proved beyond reasonable doubt. You know, much more than some people get charged with murder. You know, there's more evidence for that than anything else. Other reasons that we know God loves us. Seeing him working in other people's lives. Last week, Barbara shared some of what happened in her life. You know, we hear stories on Sunday mornings of how God interacts with us. That's more evidence that God is there, that he loves us. Unfortunately, of course, there's always the, but does he love me? All the head knowledge in the world, all the understanding and ability to prove Jesus rose from the dead, all the stories that you hear about someone else, unless you experience God for yourself, there will be an element of you that says, I don't believe it. I can't accept it. Lots of different people feel God in different ways. some people perhaps accept, you know, they see a beautiful sunset and that helps them to understand a bit better about God. For me, the complexity of DNA and how human bodies are put together makes me just go, wow, that's something about what God is like, you know, his ability to come up with stuff like that. Or reading a book, or seeing something that somebody says on Facebook will suddenly spark something in your mind about how God works with you. Can people shout out or talk out some of the things that help them to see or experience God in their lives? You know, perhaps something that's happened years ago, perhaps something that's happened recently. Floor's open. Give you a little bit of time and then I'll carry on if nobody says anything.
I don't know how you think, but it's like nature when you go down to see, like, or creation. That's what really just impacts me.
Yeah, I don't think it's about core creation, the wonders of the universe.
Yeah. For me, it's people I meet too. You can see God shining out of their eyes.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes contrasting like the kindness of like Christians at their best with other people. I'll stop there.
I would say, you know, saying that, yeah, God, really every human, well, let's be honest, every human is made in God's image and has the ability to reflect what God is like. Even the worst human will love somebody else and be able to do kindness to somebody else. And that's God shining through them. Sometimes it's harder to see in some people than others. Any more? Right. There's a book that a lot of you have probably read called The Shack. Mm-hmm. And there's a phrase that keeps coming back in that where the person who represents God is chatting to this guy who's had some really horrible things happen within his life. And he said, and God keeps on saying, oh, you know them? They're one of my favourites. He's my favourite. And God says this about so many people in the book. And I can just imagine him in here right now. If he was here right now, who would he say is his favourite? But he wouldn't say it like that, would he? Mm-hmm. He'd say, Andy, you're my favourite. Or, yeah, someone else. I just, but all my, you know what I'm like with names? They all suddenly gone. but he'd say, you know, he would use your name. You're my favourite. That's the sort of God that we've got. It's not an impersonal thing. I used to think at one time when I was really early in my life that, yeah, God loves me, but he only loves me because he loves the whole world. If he didn't have to love the whole world, he wouldn't love me. And that was when I was in a really, really deep, dark place. But I discovered, actually, he did love me even when I was there. It's just I wasn't recognising it. Actually, you are God's favourite. Even people who do not yet belong to God are his favourites because he wants every one of us to be with him. That's what we're told about how he relates to people. Yeah. This one, they're special. I want them. Miracles, answers to prayer. These are things that show us God's love for us. Perhaps not as often as we'd like. But anyone got any recent examples of miracles or answers to prayer they can share in 20 seconds or less?
Yeah, I prayed for Nathan the other morning, as he said on Sunday, his first day hasn't been good and he wanted to be on the till. He hadn't been on the first day and we prayed his day would be good. And just like I used to pray for classes, you know, when I had a bad class and I prayed that they'd be better next time I taught them, he had exactly the same experience, really. His day just changed and was turned around. And it's really, I thought that was a little miracle, really.
Okay.
Can I just add something to that? Because Ruth's daughter and her husband were here today, and they went into the shop where Nathan was, and they said, "What a lovely chap!" They didn't know him particularly, but they called her mum. I mean, Ruth was outside.
That was today.
That was today. So, what's God done?
That's good fruit. Any others, quickly?
I was on the six-ball field trip, and the week before past when our kids was going to study, it was thunder and lightning. So I texted the cell group, "Do you need to pray about this?" And it was dry. Now I'm just afraid that's a miracle, because it was raining torrentially, not this.
Another way to find out whether God loves you or not is to do some service of some sort. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was sort of a trainee leader, said, "Those who have served well gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Christ Jesus." Now, I'm going to state quite blankly, I don't get it. But it seems that the more you serve God, the deeper your faith will become. Possibly, I don't know, maybe... I don't know. See, I said, I don't know. But somehow that is something that's true. So if you're doubting your faith in God, see if you can find somewhere where you can serve him. And then he will show his love to you. You'll understand it and have a better appreciation of it. The other one, getting worse here, difficulties. Person who wrote the Hebrews, again, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. Now, if you're going through a difficult time, actually that can be God demonstrating his love for you in order to move you on in your understanding of him, or to develop character, or whatever it's there for. We're not talking in this passage about smacking children, which whenever you normally, you know, whenever a lot of people hear verses that say discipline in the Bible, that's their assumption. It's nothing to do with that. It's more akin to a soldier being trained. You know, they've got to do hard stuff to get ready for a battle, and they might get woken up at 6:30 in the morning, have to go on a 10-mile slog and get shouted at all the way. Not a pleasant experience, but something that is necessary for them to be able to be the person that they need to be. So that's really what we're talking about there. I want the easy route. Most of you are probably heading in, you know, you err towards the, "I'd like it to be easy, please." Am I right? But difficulties do actually help us, or can help us, to experience God. Joni Erickson, a famous lady who broke her neck, I can't remember whether she was a Christian before or after, but
she was from a Christian family.
Her faith said that she was able, having broken her neck and needing care for the rest of her life, she discovered how much God loved her, partly through the way that other people served her and looked after her. Not a pleasant experience, and I'm sure that she would say there were times in her life that were appallingly bad, but God spoke to her through those anyway and used them to support her. So hardship can be God demonstrating his love for you. I'm not saying it always is, but it can be. We always need to keep going back to the Bible when we want to understand God. You know, Jesus is the best description of who God is. Finding out more about him, seeing what he was like, seeing how he interacted with people will show us how God loves. I've got a bit of a challenge for you. While we're worshipping and singing tonight, I'm expecting some of you to recall bits of the Bible that you've heard. And I'd just like to say, if that happens, please try and share it with us. Don't worry about getting it word perfect. Somewhere in the Bible it says something like this. You can encourage us all by reminding us of things that God has previously said and showing how he's loved in the past. So we're going to move back to singing, but I just wanted to say it again. there's this question: do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And whether it's us asking God or God asking us, part of what this evening is about is to help us move on in either loving him or understanding his love for us, because he wants to talk to us. So.